It is 22 minutes before 5 o'clock on The Shift. I'm Patty Handyside. Thanks for being here. So glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday. Lovely, lovely Wednesday. Beautiful weather out there. You know, Snapchat has introduced its first parental control center nearly 10 months after an executive from the company told Congress it was developing tools aimed at helping parents keep their teens safe. The new tool is called Family Center, and it promises to give parents more insight into who their teens are talking with on the messaging app without divulging the content of those conversations. So you don't see what they're saying, but you see who they're saying it with. Parents have to create their own Snapchat account. So there you go. Snapchat gets to boost its numbers. And teens have to opt in to give permission for them to use the feature. What? Our tech guru, Carmi Levy, joins us now to talk about this. Hi, Carmi.
Hi, Patty. Great to be here.
Yeah, so, okay, we're going to ask our teens, hey, Joey, can you let me in so I can see everyone you're talking with and what's going on out there? How do you think that conversation's going to go?
That's not going to fly in a lot of houses, I'm sure. I mean, I think the problem here is that parents already aren't having the right kinds of dialogue with their kids. They think that they can download an app and magically that'll solve the problem of ensuring that their kids stay safe when they're online. They're not having, you know, dialogue with them. They're just trying to be draconian, standing over their shoulders. And this feature, Family Center, feels a lot like that. Yes, the kid has to opt in, but it's still mom and dad staring over their shoulder and seeing who they're connecting with. That in itself isn't going to automatically or magically make little Johnny or little Jenny safe online. You know, I'm not quite sure how that'll play out in most households, but I can think about mine. My kids would laugh at this if I proposed it to them. They would think it's rather amusing that mom and dad want to see who they're friends with. There are better ways to ensure that your kids follow the straight and narrow when they're in a digital space.
So do you think Snapchat's kind of just done this to appease politicians?
I think to a certain extent they have, and I think that's part of the problem, is we've seen this cycle play out how many times before where they hold hearings on Parliament Hill or Capitol Hill or some other house of democracy, and the elected officials, they put together a committee, and then they call in tech executives, CEOs, chief operating officers, and they grill them for hours on end, and they invite television networks to cover it live. And they make a great big dog and pony show out of it to show the population that your government is doing something about the big problems in big tech. And so, you know, I think it's more visibility than anything else. I think in the end, there really is no way to introduce a feature that magically solves this incredibly complex problem. You can't download an app and snap your fingers and suddenly your kids have everything that they need. Mom and dad have to use these tools with their kids. They have to start at a very early age. And it isn't Snapchat's responsibility. It's not Instagram's responsibility or Twitter's responsibility or YouTube's or whoever to make sure that your kid is all right. It's their responsibility to put in place a platform that lets mom and dad manage the relationship. But at the end of the day, I'm not about to hand my kid's digital destiny over to Mark Zuckerberg. And that's kind of the problem here, is these tools suggest that it resides with the platforms and mom and dad can kind of take it easy because, don't worry, they designed it that way. No, it doesn't work that way. You're still as responsible for your child in the digital space as you were in the real space when you were street-proofing them decades ago. Nothing's changed, just the technology is better.
You know, and I think back years ago when, you know, parents were like, you know, my kid's not getting in trouble online because the computer is out in the family room. You know, we'd know if something was happening. You know, they had no idea that they were talking to complete strangers who were acting like, you know, a kid in their school. And, you know, we gradually found out that, you had to be more careful and more diligent. So really it comes down to having proper conversations, right? There has to be relationships between parents and kids to talk about what's going on, not just, I'm going to log in and see who it is you're actually talking to.
That's exactly it. And you make a really good point. Years ago, there was just one computer in most households. And so it was fairly easy for mom and dad to kind of monitor what was going on. But as mobile devices became more pervasive and everyone ended up with their own screen wherever they happened to be in the house, it became harder and harder for parents to physically monitor. And the truth of the matter is there's no way for mom and dad to ever be able to monitor what's going on Junior's device. And so by having that relationship, in other words, invest your time in building the relationship, not in installing apps and configuring them. Because that way, your kid could be at the complete other side of the house, and if he or she runs into something that they're not sure about, if they trust you and if you've taken the time to build that trust relationship with them, they'll come to you and have those conversations with you. They'll ask those questions. Hey, you know, this happened to me online, and I'm not quite sure what to do. What do you think, Mom? You know, Dad, help me out. No app is going to get you to that position of trust. Only time, only investing in that relationship with your kid. And it takes a lot more energy. It's a lot harder. There's no manual for it. But like everything in parenting, it's about being there for your kid, tech or no tech.
And I thought, you know, with this app, talking about the fact that, you know, you parents would be able to see who it is they're talking to, but not the contents of it. I mean, how many parents know all the names of kids that their kids talk to, even face to face, let alone online? I mean, how, in the end, you know, how would a parent really know if that's a really bad thing? You know, so I think you're right about there just needs to be more trust there that your child would ask you if they're having problems.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and you're right. There's no way that you can keep track of all, you know, my kids have thousands of people in their networks. There's no way that I'd be able to stay on top of all of them if I were inclined to use this family center to monitor my kids, which I'm not. And even if I did know everyone, my kids are pretty tech savvy in their own right. And kids are pretty good at hiding things from mom and dad. And so, you know, for example, not everyone uses their real name on these services. They can use an alias. And so it's not that hard for someone to hide the true identity of an individual. It doesn't really give mom and dad a whole lot to work with, but you're absolutely right. It ultimately comes down to, do they trust you to have the conversation? Then regardless of what tool they're using, regardless of what platform, they always know that you guys can work it out together and partner up. Because the technology is going to keep shifting, but kids are always going to need someone in their corner to help shepherd them through this process. You know, 6 months from now, Snapchat's going to introduce new features to it. We shouldn't be having a new conversation then. It should just be, oh, let's just add this to our toolkit, you know, kids. You know, let's have a conversation about it over dinner, but ultimately nothing really changes. You're still right there with them as a partner and an ally, not some draconian taskmaster who's questioning everything they do online. That's old style parenting in the tech age. Doesn't work.
Right. Another issue that has come up with social media is for Facebook, that Facebook messages are being used to charge a mother and her daughter. The daughter had an abortion, and Nebraska police were given a tip that the 17-year-old had taken an abortion pill with the help of her mother. So they used a warrant to Facebook to turn over messages between the two, and the messages revealed the girl had taken the abortion pill and had a miscarriage. And it was passed Nebraska's abortion ban. That's how they considered it was a crime. Facebook says the warrants they received had no mention of abortion. They were just told to turn over these messages, and they did. Where do you think that puts Facebook? I mean, this really has started a real hornet's nest kind of a talk out there from a lot of people. Really, it's just building up today.
You know, when, first of all, this case chills me to my very bone. It's frightening. It's almost like our dystopian future is coming true, and I think we should all be afraid of where this ends up. When Roe was voted down by the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this year, we kind of felt at the time that that was going to have huge implications on how the social media and messaging platforms are going to respond, and many of them, including Meta, which owns Facebook, issued releases saying, you know, we stand on the side of our users, and we will work with them to ensure that they are, you know, as free in future as they are today. All sorts of lofty public relations fed messages that were meant to, you know, make us feel comfortable that no, we're okay, they're not coming for us. Truth of the matter is they are. This is the first, but it's a precedent setting case, because it essentially means it's open season. Anyone who uses these messaging tools is subject to a warrant based search for whatever. Today it's abortion. Tomorrow it could be anything else that law enforcement deems worth breaking down your front door and coming after you for. So the message for all of us is, whatever tool you're using, make sure that end-to-end encryption is on. That makes it almost impossible for law enforcement. They'll get their warrant, they won't get their data, and start locking down your accounts and being very careful about what you choose to share or what you won't share on those accounts, because you never know. There's no such thing as privacy on these services. We're learning this here from this Nebraska case. Eventually, it'll come north of the border as well.
Wow, yeah, it's scary stuff there. And, you know, it was interesting. I was waiting to hear what Facebook was going to say. And so they've just recently released the statement saying the warrants they received had no mention of abortion, but they still complied with the warrants. And I don't know. I'm not saying that Facebook should or should not have. I mean, there's a law to that. But as you said, the dystopian feel of this is very scary, that anything that they're messaging, because from what I understand, I saw some of the messages that Facebook released to police. They were out there that it was the daughter chatting with her mother, very private, you know, and not trying to hide things from her parents. It was actually chats with her mother, and her mother's now facing charges because she's helped her get these pills. And it's just, it's frightening, just frightening that this chat message is being used as the whole basis of filing felony charges in the U.S., which is frightening.
I think the lesson for all of us here is that Facebook is going to cover its back very carefully. Facebook will take care of Facebook, or Meta will take care of Meta. And you and I, as end users, even though we're in Canada, I think we still need to get our antenna up. We need to take care of ourselves, and we need to start tightening our security features and start rethinking our relationship to these messaging tools, and not using wide open, non-secure messaging tools like Facebook Messenger for sensitive communication, recognizing that there is no such thing as privacy, even with so-called one-to-one messaging services. We might want to start using apps like Signal or Telegram, which are fully end-to-end encrypted and are much more robust in terms of being able to withstand this kind of surveillance, these kinds of law enforcement requests for data. So start looking at, you know, what are you using these tools for? Are you concerned that your content could be used against you? And I think in most of our cases, the answer is yes, in certain circumstances. We've got to start being more careful, and it starts with no longer using social media apps for messaging. It starts with that, but it certainly doesn't end with it. We have to start taking control of ourselves online. Facebook isn't going to do anything to protect us.
Very good. Carmi, as usual, thank you very much, as always. It's great to talk to you about these very pressing social media issues.
Really glad I was able to be here. Thanks so much, Patty.
Thank you. That's Carmi Levy, our tech guru, talking about what's the latest from Facebook, the latest from Snapchat. Boy, the world changes fast, doesn't it? I'd like to know from you, what worries you most about social media? And have you backed off lately? Or have you joined new ones? Maybe, you know, maybe you're new to TikTok or something. Are you happy that Snapchat's adding on these features to help parents, or do you find a different way of dealing with your kids in social media? 519-792-2559 or text us at 10800.